Well, here we are at the end of another year of grace, and we are on the verge of beginning another year of grace, and it's good for us to remember that every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, of every decade, of every century is of grace. We only continue to live because of God's grace and mercy and loving kindness towards us. It is good for us to remember. I wonder how often Adam and Eve remembered what they had lost as they looked back and considered the fact that once they lived in the Garden of Eden, an earthly paradise, everything they required was provided for them. And they had immediate, very direct fellowship with God. But then they chose to rebel. Adam particularly, he was deceived by the serpent, but Adam wasn't deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. And they fell into sin. And that sin has been passed on to every single one of us who has ever lived, with the one exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as I keep saying, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And yet he never sinned. There was no sin found upon his lips. He was perfect in every way. But they would have looked back and they would have thought, what have we lost? How foolish we were to do what we did. And did they live lives filled with regret? Well, there is the hope right at the beginning that Eve understood the promise that God had made, that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. And so when she fell pregnant and delivered her firstborn son, she said, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And perhaps she thought that this was the fulfillment of the promise. It proved not to be the case. And it was some many centuries later that the true fulfillment of that promise came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they would have looked back, and doubtless looked back with regret. There is always the temptation for us to look back with regret. We consider what we have done in the last year, and we think of what we should have done in the last year and failed to do. And it is so easy and it is so dangerous to wallow in regret and just to be miserable all day long and to think, oh, if only, if only, if only. But we didn't do what we should have done. And sometimes we did so many things that we think, that was a bad thing to do. We might even think that at the time it seemed a good idea. It seemed a good thing to do. But then, with the benefit of hindsight, we recognize it was not a good thing to do. We are in the scriptures urged to remember. Let me give you some examples. Back in Deuteronomy, God speaks to the Israelites. And he tells them to consider who they are and where they've come from. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, Deuteronomy 26 and verse 5. This is in the context of bringing offerings of the first fruits to God. And you shall make a response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father. It's referring to Abraham. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction and our toil and our oppression, And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror and signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Just think back, remember what God has done for you. You started out, speaking as a nation, you started out as one man, Abraham, a wandering Aramean. And what have you become with the blessing of God? Look back, think, remember. Remember what was happening in Egypt, how you were oppressed. Remember how the Egyptians dealt with you, but then remember how God dealt with the Egyptians and with you and brought you safely out of the land of Egypt. Remember every year at Passover, the events of the Exodus. Remember God's mighty hand bringing you out of that land and bringing you to the promised land. Remember these things. These things are important. You must remember them. You must look back in order to learn from them. We have something similar in the book of Joshua. When they cross the Jordan River and they enter into the promised land for the first time in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 19. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." So they set up these 12 stones as a reminder of what God had done in the crossing of the Jordan and in the crossing of the Red Sea. These things were to be a reminder. Now, whether those stones are still there are various stone monuments around Israel even today that are thought to be various pillars that were set up in the past as reminders. Whether or not they are or not, well, that's a matter of archaeological debate. But these things were done in order to remind the people, to bring back to mind the things that God had done. We have in Isaiah, the passage that we read, a call to people to remember, to look back and to think. "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him." So again, look back, remember, think about what has happened in the past. Not in order to just be nostalgic, not in order to wallow in the past, not in order to think, "Oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a time machine so we can go back and all the problems of today we can solve by returning to the past and living in the past. How wonderful it would be to live in the past." That's not the reason why God is saying, look back, remember. The whole point is to learn from the past for the benefit of us going forward into the future. It is a reminder to us, remembering where we came from, what we were like, what God has done, in order that we might benefit from those memories, in order to help us in the future. We have, of course, and God willing, somehow next week we will be remembering the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper. And always, whenever we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are looking back. We are remembering what God has done for us in Christ. It is a reminder to us. We are always to remember the fact that we are made right with God, not on the basis of our own righteousness, not on the basis of anything that we do, not on the basis of our ancestry, not on the basis of the colour of our eyes, the colour of our skin, the colour of our hair, or anything like that. It's all because of grace. It's all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. It's all because God poured out his anger against sin upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only those who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus who know the forgiveness of their sins. It's no good saying, well, I hope God will be nice to me. We need to actually be repentant. We actually need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to trust in what he did for us when he died upon the cross. And this is so important that Jesus left this simple ceremony for us to remember this and to remember it on a regular basis. Sadly, there are some denominations where they have communion but once a year. And you hear, usually in places like Scotland, where they have communion seasons. And that is the time of year when they have communion. And you think, why only once a year? Once a week would be more appropriate. We, for very practical reasons, it's either once a fortnight or once a month, depending on our circumstances. But it's something that we need to regularly remember because we so easily forget. We go through life and we think, well, I've done well in the last week. I've done well today. I've done well. Aren't I good? God will be pleased with me. Forgetting that our standing before God is based upon the righteousness of Christ alone. It's not based on our righteousness. It's based on Christ's righteousness. And any good that we do should be merely a reflection of our gratitude to God for what he has done for us in Christ. It's not because we are worth it. It's because Christ was worth it. It's because Christ died. It's because Christ rose from the dead. It's because Christ and Christ alone, who is the Saviour of mankind, for all who repent and believe, we know that our sins have been forgiven because of what he did. Christ is the one who should be exalted. We should never exalt ourselves. We should exalt Christ. We should always be giving thanks to him. And how can we give thanks to him if we forget what it is that he did, if we forget why he did it, if we forget that he is our only hope? We should always be meditating upon the thought of what Christ has done, looking back to the cross, looking back to the empty tomb, looking back to the fact he is seated at the right hand of God in eternal glory. And from that place, one day in the future, he will return and judge the world in righteousness. Look to Christ, look to him, trust in him, be thankful to him, rejoice in him. He is so wonderful because he has done these things. How easily we forget. We need to be reminded. We need to look back to where we've come from. Paul says in writing to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8. This is Paul's instruction to Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Now, do beware of what some people say when they see Paul saying, my gospel. They say, there are different gospels. Paul had his gospel given to him by Christ. Peter had a different gospel. And in the future, there's going to be another kind of gospel. No, there's only one gospel. But Paul is saying, this is my gospel. There is no other. It's mine. I have it within me. And I personalize it so much because Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord, and it is his message that I proclaim. It is mine. And each one of us should be able to say that. And if you talk about my gospel, you're not saying that yours is different from other people's. What you are saying is that you have possessed it. God has given it to you. It is yours. It has become personal within your heart. And you seek to proclaim it at every opportunity. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. He died. He took our sins upon himself when he died. All the sins that you have ever committed and will ever commit, he took the punishment for those sins upon himself. And if you have repented and you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then all his benefits, all his blessings are imputed to you. And so your sins are taken away. They have been dealt with. They have been punished in Christ. What a wonderful thought to know that our sins are forgiven because of what our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done for us. Now, some people will immediately say, in listening to me talk about remembering and looking back, being reminded of the past, they will almost automatically say, but this is a contradiction. What about what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12? Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Paul's saying we should forget the past. Why are you going on about remembering the past when Paul says we should forget the past? Well, in what sense is Paul saying we should forget the past? I'm not going to develop that now. Possibly next Sunday we'll look at that in more detail. But Paul is not contradicting what the Lord Jesus says and what Paul himself says about the Lord's Supper. He's not contradicting what Isaiah says about looking to where you came from, where you were dug. He's not contradicting what was to be said when the first fruits were brought into the temple, that you must remember that you were a wandering Aramean. He's not contradicting what happened at the time of Joshua when they set up the stone pillar in order to remember what God had done. There is a purpose in remembering, but there is a wrong way of remembering. We need to be positive in what we remember. As we look back, we can look back and ask ourselves the question and remind ourselves, what was I like before I came to Christ? What was I like when I was living in sin? And people throw up their hands in horror and say, I've never lived in sin. Well, of course, we all live in sin. Before we come to Christ, we are all sinners, and therefore we live in sin. Now, that phrase has come to mean other things, but that is just one aspect of what sin is. Sin is all-pervading. There is the theological term total depravity. That doesn't mean that we are as depraved as we could possibly be. We are not so drenched in sin we couldn't get any worse. No, what the phrase totally depraved means is that we are depraved, we are sinners in every aspect of our being. It is total. It doesn't mean we're all as bad as we could be, because some are worse than others from a human perspective. But total means every aspect, what we think, what we say, what we do, the whole of our being is infused with sin. And the only way to escape it is through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So look back and think to yourself. Don't dwell upon it, but think, what was I like before I came to Christ? Well, I was a sinner. Some might say, well, yes, I was very sinful and I'm so ashamed of the way I thought, the way I spoke, the way I lived. It's shameful, and I don't like to be reminded of that. But then think about how you first heard the gospel. Where were you when you first heard the gospel? Who was it who spoke the words of the gospel to you? Did you read something in a book? Did you turn to the pages of the scriptures? Did you hear a gospel message? Did someone give you a tract? Did you bump into someone on the street? And they might just have said a few words, but it sparked something within you. And you began to think that through, and eventually you grasped the gospel, and you repented, and you believed in the Lord Jesus. And how glorious it is to remember that day when you came to Christ, and suddenly, as Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, he comes to the foot of the cross, and he looks up at the cross, and his burden falls from his back, and he gave three leaps for joy, because he knew his sins were forgiven. And how glorious that is to look back and remember what God did. But then also to remember what God has done. How has God worked in your life? How has God worked through providence to bring you to where you are now? It's no good looking back and saying, oh, if only. Oh, if only. Oh, if only. If only I had done this. If only I hadn't done that. If only, if only. How much better would my life be now? But you can't change anything as a result of doing that. You might reflect on sometimes looking back and saying, why did I do that? Well, that was foolish. You shouldn't have done it. So learn that for the future. Look back and say, well, I did do that. That was the right thing to do. Well, good. Carry on doing the right thing. Feeding upon the word of God and listening to what God directs us and tells us how we should live, always seeking to do what is right. Having reflected upon our conversion, upon our subsequent, hopefully, growth in godliness, in holiness, in righteousness, which is nothing we can boast about because it's all from God. It's all as a result of the Holy Spirit of God working within us. We should be grateful to God. So many ways we can look back and mourn and say, oh, if only. But God brought us through these things. God brought us to the here and now. God has preserved us by his grace and in his providence. And here we are today. We are still alive at the moment. Who knows how many more days, months, years of life God has for us. We don't know. God knows. Let's make use of them in the time that God has left for us. He will take us at the appropriate time, whenever that might be. So we should be grateful to God for his grace. Meditate often upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. In spite of who we are, in spite of our failures, God has been so good and so gracious, so merciful, so kind towards us. When we are seeking to evaluate our growth in grace, one thing that we should do and one thing we should not do is in comparing ourselves. Comparing ourselves to what? Well, of course, we should compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is perfection personified. If only we could be like Christ. And we can make that a goal for ourselves always, to be like him. But it's also dangerous to compare ourselves to those round about us. Oh, well, I'm not as godly as he is. I'm not as spiritual as she is. We need to remember what Paul advises in Galatians chapter 4. He says in Galatians chapter 6, and it's verse 4 in particular, but we'll read from verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbour. For each will have to bear his own load. I think what Paul is saying here is, if you've only been a Christian for a year, don't compare yourself to someone who has been a Christian for 50 years. When you look back upon your own progress. Have you made progress in this last year? Have you progressed in godliness? Have you progressed in holiness? Are you more like Christ today than you were a year ago? These are the things that we need to evaluate in ourselves. Not to say, well, I'm not yet like Christ, and get depressed and miserable and cast down and think, I might as well give up because I'm never going to make it. No, we say to ourselves, how do I compare today with how I was yesterday, last week, last month, last year? Can I see growth in grace? Can I see that there has been progress? Am I more like Christ today than I was last year? We will have to confess that we fail. But failure is something that we should use in a positive way to say to ourselves, well, I failed in that way, let me not do that again. And when we have done something well, and we can say, I did that well with the help of God, so perhaps I should do more of that, and thus make progress in the year ahead. We ask ourselves always, how can I improve? How can I be more like the Lord Jesus Christ? So when we look back not for purposes of nostalgia, because as everybody knows, nostalgia isn't what it used to be. Nostalgia is wallowing in the past and wishing we could go back to the past. We look back to a period such as the 18th century when God poured out his Spirit in great blessing, and many, many thousands, tens of thousands of people were converted, and chapels were built. We look at the 19th century, and there were almost continuous revivals in various parts of the world. I've been going through some books recounting revivals in New England, and it's glorious to see how God worked then. And it's so easy to read these accounts and think, oh, I wish I could go back now and live in those times. Well, you probably don't, because if you did, the sanitation wasn't so good. There wasn't any penicillin or any other antibiotics, and so a lot of people died from infections, which are easily treated these days. There was no internet, no mobile phones. How could we live without these things? We don't think about the practicalities. Just thinking back 50 years and situations where it would have been so useful to have had a mobile phone, but we didn't have them in those days. We had to go and find a call box. A lot of people say, what's a call box? We had to put money into the phone in order to make a phone call. And these things just seem bizarre to us these days. So when we look back, we're not looking back to wallow in the past. We're not looking back to say, oh, if only I could have been alive then. We are looking back to learn from the past. We are looking back in order to benefit from the lessons of the past, in order to go forward into the future. Now, some of you will have heard a saying of Henry Ford, or at least attributed to Henry Ford. It's a misquote, but Henry Ford is supposed to have said, history is bunk. There is no point in history. I used to think that, although I was reading some school reports yesterday from when I was about 10, saying how much I enjoyed history. Well, by the time I got to secondary school, I couldn't see the point of history. I thought it was a complete waste of time, and so I dropped it. But once I was converted, I realised the great importance of history, because I've been reading from the scriptures. And as you look at the scriptures, so much of it is history. the events about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world, living amongst us, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, ascending on high. That's all history. History is very important in order to know what God did in the past. But we don't wallow in the past. We say, this is what happened. This tells us the truth about what happened. This is the basis upon what we believe in order that we are made right with God. So beware of nostalgia. Beware of saying, oh, if only I could go back. You can't. It's not possible. But we can learn. We can have greater understanding as a result of looking at the past. Well, God willing, in looking back at the past, we will be preparing ourselves for looking forward into the future. And perhaps, God willing, next Sunday, we will consider looking forward to what is to come for us in the year ahead, and how we might live to God's praise and glory, and to give thanks to him for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ did come into the world, lived amongst us, died on the cross to bear our sins, and rose again from the dead for our justification.